Good morning, buenos dias, and welcome to College Mennonite Church as we gather to worship together the God who made heaven and earth and all that is in them and keeps faith forever. Welcome to you as you gather in this space and others of you joining by various forms of technology. Please join with me in the call to worship printed on the front of your bulletin. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Cristo ha resucitado. De verdad, Cristo ha resucitado. We watch this morning for the fire that was in the beginning and burns bright in every living creature. Jesus tells us, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power. Recibirás poder. Recibirás poder. Please turn in the purple, sing the story to number one. Praise the one who breaks the darkness. And please stand as it suits you.
Number 229. 229. Tú has venido a la orilla. And we're going to sing verse 1 in Spanish and then verse 1 in English, then verse 2 in Spanish and verse 2 in English.
Thank you.
Today, amidst our worship, we offer our prayers to God for the concerns of our hearts, the troubles of our minds, the joys of our spirits. We especially form our prayers around Dan and Vera Steiner, as Dan's brother Paul died this week, and Dale and Vivian Kaiser, as Vivian's brother Merle also died this week. Please join with me in prayer. God of all tongues and languages, we thank you that you are a listening God that hears our prayers even before we speak, yet you welcome our praying. In turn, God, we welcome your strong guidance and comforting encouragement for the concerns of our minds and the burdens of our hearts. God, we lift to you those in need of your healing hand, those who are ill and weak, those who are healing from infection or injury or from surgery, those who are undergoing rehab. We remember Lucy Schwarzendruber, Wayne Schertz, and Don Spillman as each seek to gain strength through therapy following hospitalization. Give them each your encouragement. We lift to you Liz Jacobs as she has been weakened from pneumonia. Open the path to further healing and strength for Liz. Bring your encouragement. God, we ask for your guiding comfort for those who grieve. We lift to you Dale and Vivian Kaiser, Dan and Vera Steiner, and their families as they bid goodbye to siblings and experience the stress and sadness of fresh grief. We also remember others who are living with the waves of ongoing grief. Bring your abiding comfort to each one. Gracious God, we also bring before you new families that have become a part of our larger church family. Thank you for bringing each one and the friendships and gifts each one offers. Give them joy and support in this community. God of all peoples and places, we lift to you your hurting world. Bring your strength, your wisdom, your encouragement, and your love to the most hurting and vulnerable places of our world. Guide us to know what our part is in your work of reconciliation and healing to this world. And God, we celebrate where there are good things and loving things happening in this world. We see your face amidst both those good things and your presence amidst suffering. God, you have heard the prayers of your people, spoken and many unspoken. We thank you that at every moment of our lives, you are present to us in gentle compassion. Even when we do not sense your presence, you are with us. We rest in the comfort of your care and claim the hope we have in you. Give us courage and wisdom to follow you. We pray all these things together in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I invite you to turn in the Purple Sing the Story to number 47. Let the children come to me. And children, you are invited to come as we sing.
In addition to the refrain, we're going to sing verses 1 and 3 on the facing page.
Morning. When you look around the sanctuary, what clues do you see as to what we might be doing today? Celebrating a birthday, yeah? Is that what you were going to say, Matthew? Yeah?
Welcoming
someone into the church. Yeah, so the balloons are kind of a signal to us that we're celebrating something. Usually it's someone turning 3, and that we're welcoming, right? So do any of the people up here, do you think any of them are 3 years old?
No.
Are any of you 3?
Are you 3?
Are you 3? Obviously, you're not 3. No. No. But sometimes families become part of our church family after children are older than 3, and we still want to get to know them and to welcome them. And so this Sunday and probably 2 more times, we're trying something new, where we welcome families who've joined us in the last several months. And so we'll do this, and then in a few weeks we'll do some more, and then in a few weeks we'll do some more. And this way we can kind of get to know everybody. So I'm going to ask you all some questions, okay? How old are you? Can you show everyone with your hands how old you are? Do they still fit on your hands? There we go. Okay, so we've got 5. We've got, can you all tell me?
9.
And?
6.
And?
5.
All right, now let's do some names. Can you say it nice and loud, and then I'll repeat it to make sure everyone who's listening can hear.
Dakota.
Sophia.
Ryan.
Brooklyn. In Brooklyn. And we have some parents here. We have Dakota's parents are Adam and Tina. And then we have Addie, but Jared is sick today. So their dad isn't here today. Yeah. Now we also have some favorites that we want people to know about. So Dakota, when I asked him his favorite color, he said all of them. And do you have a favorite color?
Yeah.
What is it? Red.
Orange.
There you go. Tell your mom. It's okay. Oh, Brooklyn also likes all of them. We've got a couple kids who like all of them. And some things that we've noticed about these children, we have a very energetic Dakota who actually can climb walls. And literally, he climbs walls. And we have a very thoughtful Sophia who asks some really nice questions. And we have Ryan here. And Ryan has a way of kind of making things into games, don't you? I've noticed that about you. And Brooklyn tends to be nice and curious. Like you? Are any of you curious? Yeah, we got lots of curious kids and grown-ups here at this church, I think. Now, favorite foods. Sometimes we want to know that. So, favorite food. I heard you like pineapple. Is that right? Do you have favorite foods?
Lasagna.
Cucumbers. Cucumbers.
Peanut butter and jelly.
And peanut butter and jelly. So if we wanted to have a feast to welcome you all, we would have lasagna and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and cucumbers and pineapple. That's not a bad meal. All right. Now, you've just started coming here in the last several months, so do you have kind of things that you look forward to when you come here yet? Some favorite things about church? I know, Dakota, you told me that you really like being in Sunday school. Yeah, especially playing in Sunday school, he said. Do you have any favorite things?
Sunday school?
Children's time. And playing in your classroom. Yeah, there are some things that you all look forward to, and we all look forward to seeing you here. And Bible stories. Are there any Bible stories that you especially enjoy? Maybe I heard something about David and Goliath from you. You like that one? Yeah. Do you have any favorites? No? Just kind of like them all? Yeah. Whichever one you're thinking about right now? Yeah. That's all right. Well, we are very glad that you're part of our church family. And these children are all people who've been able to get to know you in Sunday school and are glad to have you joining them here at our church, too. We have something that we like to make sure families have at our church. Now, I've made sure that you have a couple of the other things that we try to make sure families have. But this one, I don't think your families have yet. So go ahead and open that one up. Now, if you've noticed, we sing quite a lot in this church. And this is a CD that helps you learn some of the songs that we sing in worship, so that you can sing along when we're singing things here. And I'm giving this to you really hoping that you have a way to play CDs. Okay. That's kind of something that we're not convinced of anymore. So, all right. Good. Well, we are really glad that you are part of our church family, and all of the people here consider themselves to be your church family. And we're glad to have you here so that we can love you and care about you and help you follow Jesus. And we also know that as you are here among us, you are going to help us learn more about following Jesus. We are going to join our church family in a big circle for prayer. So we haven't tried this before, but we're going to try it. I'm going to have the children come this way. We're going to see if we can make a big circle. And have you noticed that our church is a big circle?
Yeah.
Look around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our children's time circle is like the circle in the middle of it. Okay, so if we face this way, do you think we can kind of make a big circle with the rest of our church family? Yeah? And I'm going to let you all stand as well. And kind of reach your arms out. And kids, if we can reach our arms out, all of us can make one big family circle. Got it? There's our big family circle. All right, let's pray together. God, thank you for this church family. And we thank you especially today for the new members that we are having in this family of God. We thank you for their presence with us and for all the things that they will teach us. Help us to be a loving and caring family. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one thing before you go to seats. Guess what?
Worship bags?
Well, yes, worship bags. But first, what have we been watching? Caterpillars. Guess what? Excuse me, I have to get to my pictures. I have two pictures that Pamela took. Now, we couldn't bring them here because they're too fragile to travel. Look. Yes, we have butterflies. We have three butterflies and three more on their way.
And guess what?
You have a butterfly tattoo on you. And you too. Wow.
Guess what?
Yes, what?
That one?
Yeah.
Isn't a butterfly, it's something else.
Well, actually, you can't see the colors on them in here because when Pamela tried to open their thing so she could get a picture of the colors on their wings, you know what they did? Their wings went like this. Boop. So she couldn't get a picture of the colors. So I'm not really sure what colors they are. But we will see soon. Because soon we'll be able to bring them in here.
Are they called painted ladies?
Yeah, they are called painted ladies.
We have painted ladies in our class.
Your classroom has painted ladies. All right. So children, you may get your worship bags. But families that we just welcomed, you get to go around. And while we sing, you get to grab some balloons. And Dakota, yours, as requested, doesn't float. So we'll hope that we can find it there. All right.
Everyone is welcome at the welcome table. This is number 4 in Sing the Journey.
This morning, our preacher is David Maldonado, one of the members of our pastoral team. Please join with me in prayer. God, we thank you for David. We thank you for his study and reflection on your word. Guide him and guide us as we hear and receive today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. This morning I want to talk about follow me, and I'm going to start in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 19. I'm going to look at seven scenes or events in the book of Matthew, and then I'll come back and try to get something out of there that can apply to us in Goshen in the year 2019. From those stories that occurred. So Jesus starts his ministry and he comes upon fishermen. Matthew 4, verse 19. And he says, follow me. And it's interesting that these men who depend on this fishing business drop their nets, anchor their boats, and decide to follow him. So that's scene one. Scene two, Jesus comes around and he sees this other guy named Matthew. Matthew's got his table set up. It's probably like a flea market, at least in my mind. Bunch of little tables. People come through and pay their taxes. Matthew had one of those tables. And Jesus looks at him and says, follow me. And this guy as well leaves this table which funds or finances his lifestyle, and he goes. Third scene, as these men are walking with Jesus, they find themselves eating with what the Bible says, sinners and tax collectors. So Jesus and his motley crew, they're walking around, and they stop somewhere and they start to eat with sinners and tax collectors. As they're eating there, then they continue, a ruler shows up and says to Jesus, you need to come to my house and resurrect my daughter. That's kind of crazy. Somebody shows up here this morning and says to me, let's say the mayor of this city shows up and says, the pastoral team here at College Mennonite Church needs to come to my house and resurrect my child. I'll be like, you need to go to the funeral home. Jesus doesn't answer. He gets up and he goes. Now these men that left their businesses are with Jesus, so they're walking with Jesus. En route to this resurrection party, a lady with an issue of blood stops the caravan. So the whole thing comes to a halt because Jesus is saying or said, who touched me? Seems ridiculous. In that context, the amount of people there, and Jesus would ask, who touched me? And the whole thing just stops. And now he enters into what's called investigation mode. So he continues, and then later on, chapter 9, we see that Jesus is said to be among the sick and diseased. And then in chapter 14, the Bible says that he's having this big revival, if you will, for lack of a better word. And the disciples say, hey, you know, it's getting pretty late and there are no 7-Elevens here or Walmart or, you know, Martin's or anything. This is quite desolate. We need to release the people, let them go. They need to go find something to eat. And Jesus turns around and says, no, you feed them. So I want to now go back and look at each scene and see what I can get out of this. The first scene, I see an invitation.
follow me. I think that continues to be the attitude of Christ. He calls to everyone and he says, follow me. And it's interesting that the first group of men decided to follow him, and they had no idea of Christ's agenda. I don't know if they even understood his mission. I don't know if they even understood the commitment they were making. Was this a follow me for a week? Was this a follow me for a month? Is this a follow me for how long? How long am I supposed to follow you? I mean, where are we going? Should I bring a backpack? I mean, should I bring my MasterCard? What are we doing? Where are we going? Maybe I should tap into some of my IRA. I mean, do you have a place for me to sleep? So there's this, when we decide to follow Jesus, we need to get into that attitude or that mold that, folks, this is a surprise in a way. I know that scares a lot of folks, but you shouldn't be scared about this. It's exciting. It really is. So that's the first thing I observe. And it's, whosoever will follow me. Everybody's invited. Everybody. Scene two. I want to look at this table. What does, when you think about a tax collector, at least let me put it this way. When I think about a tax collector, and I didn't live in that time, so I have to read about what people wrote who lived during that time. So what I gather is that some people were authorized to collect taxes on behalf of Rome. And they were allowed to collect a little more taxes because what's owed to Rome and what's paid, the difference, they could put it in their pocket. That was the custom. So some folks were heavily taxed. And I'm sure that some folks could not afford the taxes. So we could build a case that this table is a table that may be considered a table of unjust transactions. And God always spoke about the balances. Let them be right. Let the balances be right. So maybe we could look at this table as an unjust table. If it is an unjust table or unjust practices happen here, we can build the case that this is an immoral situation. If we can build the case that this is immoral, we can then build the case that this is unholy. So we have unjust, immoral, and unholy action or behavior taking place here. Is it possible that somehow Matthew saw this, and that's the reason why he left this? I don't know. I have no idea. But it does draw my attention that he chooses to just close up shop. Approximately 5 years ago, while we were still in Southwest Florida, being that I have a commercial license and I can build in the state of Florida, he's not a friend. He's someone I knew because of the trade industry. He approaches me, and he presents me a proposition. I'm not getting into all the details of it. But he presents a proposition that I would benefit had I agreed to this. I could easily have benefited over $100,000 a year. Financially, it would have been a great thing for me. But when I analyzed the proposition and I compared it to Christ and who Christ is and what Christ expects of me, I could not accept it. Because the case could be built that it was immoral. And it was incompatible with kingdom standards. Now, the standards of the kingdom is nothing more than the behavior and the mindset of God. This is the way God behaves. This is the way God acts. And therefore, this is the kingdom. And these are the kingdom values. So, even though I could use, I don't know how many of you would like to earn an extra $100,000 a year. You know, maybe you don't need that. Maybe you don't want that. I would not have minded. But it was incompatible. So we, as believers in Christ, we need to walk away from any of that. But as we walk away from that, we're invited to another table. So Matthew leaves this table, but now Matthew is participating of another table. Sinners and tax collectors. When we follow Jesus Christ, we find ourselves participating with people that we probably would have never participated with, that we probably would have never eaten with. You see, Christ takes us out of this singular mode of life into a plural world. Being part of God's family, my family in Christ has become larger now since I moved to Goshen. We have family in California. Pretty much anywhere in the States we go, we know folks that are part of the family of Christ. Look at how large it becomes. We go overseas. We have family in Christ over there. So we leave one context. As we follow Christ, we're invited and we participate in a whole new context. This is the table where everybody's invited. Everybody can break bread here. Nobody's better than anybody. We're all the same. We're all in the same shoe. By His grace and mercy, we have been saved. No one's bigger or smaller. No one gets a larger portion. Nobody's looked down upon. This is the table of fellowship. This is great, folks. The other thing I see here in scene 4, he's walking with this ruler who's downcast. So when you follow Christ, when we follow Christ, we end up walking with people who are downcast. I remember one time we get news that Pedro and Anna's 3-year-old son died. He choked on a gum. It was like a little gum. It's round. And he suffocated. When I drove to the Lee Memorial Hospital, I'm walking to emergency. I see Pedro. He's laying on one of the islands in Florida. After every 10 parking spots, there has to be an island. It's the law. So you have 10 parking spots, an island, grass, trees, shrubs, 10 parking spots, another island. He's laying on one of them, just screaming and crying and banging the ground with his fist. I sat there. I had nothing to say. I couldn't say nothing. How do you respond to this? I don't know. I just had no words. And some people say we preachers talk a lot. And when you find yourself without words, you know it's hard stuff. But when we follow Christ, we find ourselves in those scenarios. Just walking with people. We don't need to say nothing. We just walk with them. We walk from point A to point B. And sometimes we have absolutely nothing to say. And I remember an elderly pastor taught me the power of being present. He said, David, you don't need to say nothing. Just by you being there says a lot. And I learned that. So Jesus is teaching the disciples to be present. He's walking with this ruler to his house. En route, someone touches Jesus. We can call this a disruption to the agenda. We don't like that. When we plan stuff, we want it to, you know? We would like it to happen the way we planned it. But when you walk with Christ, what seems like a disruption is part of God's agenda. And be mindful of this fact, that there is your agenda, my agenda, and the divine agenda. And we need to be open to that. In ARC, I used to tell my team, be fluid. Be like water. We'll plan something, but there are no guarantees. I mean, yeah, we planned. But God knows nothing ever occurred the way we planned it. Actually, when it did happen, it was better than we expected, because God was in control. But I used to tell them, be fluid, be like water. Water doesn't stop. It'll go through. It'll penetrate it. It'll move it. It'll rise. It'll envelop it. It's just moving. So there's my agenda, and there's the divine agenda. And as long as you're following him, when something seems like a disruption, it really isn't. It's part of the plan. Scene 6, we see Jesus among the sick and diseased. Compassion. Jesus is teaching this motley crew to have compassion. I look forward to a world where there is no diseases or sickness. But I've thought about this one thing. You may have also. In the midst of this broken world with diseases, sicknesses, there's a lot of selfishness. Imagine a world without diseases or sickness. Would there be any compassion? I'm not for sickness or diseases. Don't take my words out of context. What I'm saying, in this time we live, these situations teach us to be compassionate, to be merciful, to sit with someone. I remember receiving a call. Pastor Maldonado, Pastor Maldonado, please come visit me. I go over there. I don't know who the person is. I knock on the door. The lighting is very dim. I can only see the silhouette of the person, and I can hear his voice, and he says, come on in. I walk in. He says, you can sit there, and then he sat across, and he starts to tell me that he wants me to pray for him because he's going to die. I said, well, what is wrong with you? And he started to share with me what his symptoms. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I had a feeling this wasn't as serious as he thought it was. I said, can we turn on the lights? Because we had the lighting from the adjacent room. I said, can we just turn on this light here? So he turns on the light. It just happens to be he had chicken pox. I said, well, praise God for chicken pox. You met Jesus tonight. My point is, we're drawn by Christ. We're compelled to go to those places. Sometimes it's worse than others. Jesus is among the sick and diseased. Jesus is accessible. Jesus is available. When we decide to follow Christ, we make ourselves accessible to the community, to people. We make ourselves available. I see Jesus as a man with resources, infinite amount of resources. And I want to, in parentheses, Whenever I refer to resources, please don't make it singular. Make it plural and make it a verb. Plural in the sense that I may be the beginning of the bridge, or I might just lead you to the bridge. Someone else may be the bridge. Someone else may be the back end of the bridge. I'm talking about maybe I can provide some time or just sit down and have a coffee and give a counsel. So I'm talking about a variety of things. I'm not talking about one singular thing, which often when preachers talk, oftentimes they're talking about money. No, I'm not talking about that one. That's just one thing in a lot of things. Each person here has resources. You know people. And they know people. So Jesus makes himself available, and he's teaching the disciples, this is the way you do this. You come out. You're out here. You bring yourself here. You use your time, your resources. Let people tap into you, and you connect them to where it needs to be connected. Boy, that's a beautiful thing. Last scene. This one, had I been there, I would have said, Jesus, you're a trip. I really would. You know why? This is his mission. He's out here healing people, talking to people, you know, yipping and yapping, and he's inviting people, and oh, he's like a party boy. I don't see Jesus as a sad, constipated looking man. Jesus was always eating, he was always drinking, and they said, you're a drunk and a glutton. I mean, he's in every party. This is a party man, a happy party man. And he's and all these people are around him. And they're getting hungry, and for the first time, the disciples had good discernment. Maybe it's because they were hungry too. They wanted this stuff to just finish already. This was worse than David Maldonado preaching. I mean, this thing doesn't want to stop. So, but look at what he says. The disciples give good counsel in my mind. Hey, it's getting late. It's deserted out here. Let these people go to the towns and villages and find something to eat. Jesus turns around and says, you feed them. At that point, I'd say, man, look, you're tripping out. This is all your business. You can't lay this burden on me. Do you see that? Jesus lays the burden on his followers. Do you see that? I did not know what I was getting into when they told me in 1993, you're going to be the pastor of this church. I was 23 years old. I had absolutely no idea what I was getting into. And out of obedience, I said, okay. 27 years later, boy, what an adventure. How many burdens did the divine Lord lay upon me that I had nothing to do with them? But you shall receive power, he said. He said, you will not be alone, for I will be with you every day. And boy, did we confront situations. Sometimes in one day you deal with a variety of situations. We're in ministry in East Fort Myers, the poverty central of Lee County. Lee County has 8 cities, and out of the 8 cities, East Fort Myers is the worst. It just didn't stop. One situation after another, one need after another, one crisis after another, one killing after another. Never stopped. But he said, I shall be with you. He said, follow me. He never laid upon me the responsibility to provide, but he always laid upon me the burden to feel. To feel someone else's pain. To hear someone else's story. To walk with someone else. To feel someone else's burden. But it is there, folks, that you shall see his glory. You shall see things that you can't even make them up. Hollywood can't even make them up. So he says, follow me. And if you join that invitation, you're in for a ride, a glorious ride. So you shall receive power and you shall become victorious in each and every situation. May the Lord bless you.
Let's respond by singing in Purple Sing the Story, number 39. 39, will you come and follow me?
Good morning, everyone. This is a story about how God moves through daydreaming, through inspiration, through neighbors, and through a church community. Sometimes I stop to think about how the Love Shack came about and marvel. This was definitely God at work. God moved, a group of neighbors and our community acted, and we ended up with a small miracle. On November 26, 2017, as I was washing dishes at my sink and staring out at the gray alleyway, I dreamt of summertime and gardens. For a number of years, I had dreamed of planting enough vegetables in the right of way to provide summertime vegetables for neighbors to pick fresh off the vine as they walk through our well-traversed alleyway. Excuse me. Our neighborhood is densely populated, as we have many rental units in the old houses that line the streets. Numerous friends and neighbors are food insecure, including children who may need to fend for themselves on weekends and during the summer break. Fresh fruits and vegetables are a treat. As I stared out the window, I wondered if we might be able to build shelving next to the road, inviting Goshen gardeners to share out of their abundance at the end of the summer. Although we live in a city that has a wonderful co-op, a terrific market, and numerous farm stands in the nearby countryside, there are Goshen sisters and brothers who don't necessarily have easy or affordable access to fruits and vegetables. I verbalized my idea to Dan, suggesting that perhaps we could try something like this in the summertime. He wondered if we might use the little free library model for our in-town free farm stand. Now, this is the part of the story that blows me away and reveals the awesome way God works in surprising and delightful and downright miraculous ways. That very same night, my friend and next-door neighbor, Lori Martin, shared a post on Facebook with me. It was a story about a small pantry that someone had built somewhere else in the U.S. In it, the post described to a T what Dan and I had discussed for the very first time ever in our entire lives, just that day. A little free pantry. Lori simply stated on the post, "Jill, let's do this in our alley." We paid attention to the way it seemed God was leading. By January 28th, just 2 months later, we neighbors had the Love Shack up and running. People responded generously and enthusiastically, including Julie, who is with me to detail how CMC is partnering with us, extending God's abundance to our Goshen neighbors. We continue to invite community members to share what you are able and to take what you need. We welcome fresh produce, healthy non-perishables, baking supplies, small surprises, hygiene items, food for pets, or love letters to strangers. The Love Shack is well used by children, teenagers on their way to the post, and by adults. I am most moved when I see people who frequent and use the Love Shack give back. We have seen people who we know are living on a limited income put items into the Love Shack, and they often tell me when they do, they're happy to do it. We've had families from our church, members of our neighborhood, and individuals from across the city, and even from outside of Goshen, share. Most often, the items are gone within 2 hours of being placed in the pantry. There is a need in our community and in our world, a need for people to be nourished. Bodies need nourishment, and so do souls. Those on the fringes need to know that regardless of their income level, their age, the color of their skin, their addiction struggles, their immigration status, or their legal history, people love and care about them, and so does God. Thank you for joining us as we carry on the tiny, miraculous mission of the Love Shack.
I'm here to share with you how the matching grant from College Church enabled a number of families to double our contribution to the Love Shack. The Kuplichtys and our family joined with a few other families in this grant, and by donating to the Love Shack matching grant fund, we doubled the dollar amount that we contributed. Each of the families who participated chose 2 different months, and we used the money from the matching grant to purchase groceries or other supplies and drop them off every day throughout the course of our assigned months. This supplemented what the Kuplichtys were already providing on their own, along with what other generous neighbors and members of the congregation, and I think you saw some of their pictures, who aren't neighbors, drop off at the Love Shack. There was rarely a day when anything was left when the boys or I would drop things off in the morning. I am grateful for the generosity of this congregation that allowed our families to participate in an effort that is community-based and also serves a vital community need. And I'm also thankful for Jill and Dan and their vision for the Love Shack.
Thank you, everyone.
It is now time for us to give of the fruits of our labor and the blessings that we have received. ushers will be available to receive your offering, but you can also come forward.
Father, thank you for your provisions. Thank you that we can receive and give. Thank you for the work of this ministry, and continue to bless each and every one of us. In Christ's name, amen.
Our final hymn is number 64 in the hymnal, Asiti Amen.
Amen.
go now renewed and inspired in following Jesus. Amen.